We continue our learning. Our mission is going to discuss the obligations that a father has towards his daughter after he passes away, meaning there's an estate, and she has the right, although it's inherited by his sons, she has the right to, the daughter has the right now to receive mizonos from, to be supported from that ksuva. That's part of the Tanai ksuva. It's one of the conditions of the ksuva. When the father's still alive, though, the father is not chayiv in giving her mizonos. In fact, person is not chayiv to give mizonos to his sons or daughters above the age of six on a d'oraisa level, except because of tzedakah. In fact, the Rambam writes, based on the Gemara, the following. Kishem sha'adam chayiv b'mizonos ishto, kachu chayiv b'mizonos banav uvunos avaktanim. The same way he's chayiv to give mizonos to his wife, he's also chayiv to give mizonos to sustain, to support with food his sons and daughters who are ktanim. Achiyu b'nei sheishonim. So that's a Torah obligation. Mikan ve'elech ma'achilon achiyu gedulu mitakonas chachamim. But beyond age six, up until bar and bat mitzvah, that's a takana derabanan to support them. Vim lo ratza, says the rabbi, he doesn't want to. Goren bo, we scold him, we humiliate him. Vim lo ratza, and he still doesn't want, machrizan alav bitzibur. And this is all based on the Gemara. We stand up, we make an announcement. V'omim ploni achzarihu, this guy is cruel. V'ena rotza lozun barav, he doesn't want to support his children. V'arei pachosu me'ov tamei, he's a less than an of tameh. The Gemara quotes the pasuk levnei o rave asher yikro, that the ravens, even the ravens, support their children, although the pasuk seems to say that they don't. The Gemara deals with that. Shehuzan esef rochav, even a tameh bird gives mizonos to its chicks. Vein kofin oso lazunam achar sheish, but we don't force someone to give food to their children after six, which means if they don't want to give up until six, so then we garin bo, etc. But we will announce, this is what the Gemara describes, we'll encourage them to do so, we'll make them feel really bad, we'll embarrass them, but in terms of physically forcing them to do so, that we're not going to do after age six. We can encourage them in this way, make them feel really bad about it, tell them that there are a tummy bird is better than them, that's all up from 6 to 12, but to force we're not going to do. The Rambam says, based on the Gemara, ish eino omud, person who's not wealthy enough. Then yadua imroy litain stucco eino roy. We don't know if he gives stucco or not, so we're not going to force him. Avalimu ahaya omud, he's a wealthy guy. Sheish lo mamon haroy litone litain mimenut stucco maspekas lahen. He has plenty of money in order to support these kids between 6 and 12. Motzien mimenu baal karcho mishum stucco. Then we'll grab the money against his will. That's part of the Baal Karcho anyway, in terms of forcing him. Doesn't matter, physically means we'll grab the money away from him. That we're not going to do if he does. We don't think he has the money. We're not sure. But if we know he does, he's an Ish Amud, so then we force him, Rambam says, the Hilchos Ishos Perek Yud Beis, until they become Gedolim. Nowadays, I think I remember reading Tshuva, that according to the Rabbanut HaRashit, this obligation applies up until age 15. Maybe it's increased since that Tshuva, but that's nonetheless an obligation up until Bar and Bat Mitzvah, Mida Rabbanon, Mida Oraisa, until 6, in terms of your children. The wife is obviously the Torah obligation, as we said, similar to the kids until age 6. Says the Mishnah the following, Ha'av eino chayav b'mizonos bito. Exactly what we said. A father, we don't force him to give mizonos to his daughter, meaning why do we mention the daughter? Well, because the sons, as we said, the daughter, at least we know when the sons, when the father passes away, the sons have to give mizonos from the estate to the daughter. So maybe I would have thought that obligation applies as well while the father is alive, to the daughter at least. No, we don't, no obligation to give mizonos to his daughter or his sons. Zeh Medrash. Darash Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria lifnei chachamim b'kerem b'yavne. This teaching, which we're about to say, is something that Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria taught on the day that he was appointed the Nasi in the Sanhedrin. And he taught this in the Kerem b'yavne, which is the base Medrash HaGadol that was moved, where the Sanhedrin moved from Yerushalayim to Yavne. It's called Kerem because the chachamim used to sit in rows like a vineyard. What did he teach on that day? Habanim Yirshu v'habanos Yazunu. What was this teacher? These were really two takanos. Number one, and we mentioned this, we learn Yevamos, what we call, as we'll describe in the Mishnah Yud, in this perek, which is Ksuvas Benin Dichrin, where we say that the sons are going to be Yoresh, their mother's Ksuva. If you remember, we'll do this a little bit later as well in this perek, where we say the following. Although when a father passes away, all of his sons from all different wives are supposed to split the Yerusha equally. We're afraid that what's going to happen? So that means that all the ksubos, the ksuba, let's say one of his wives passed away, so that ksuba is now going to be divided amongst children that were not hers, because they're the children of the father. So if that's the case, then a father, a potential someone who wants to marry off his daughter, thinking that if his daughter predeceases her husband, that ksuba may be going to grandchildren that are not his, may not want to give an nice dowry in the ksuba. So because of that, this was a takanas chachamim of ksuvas benin dichrin, the male son's ksuva, that the sons are yoresh, habanim yirshu. They're yoresh, their mother's ksuva. That is not divided equally amongst the father's children from another wife. The other yerusha is, but not the ksuva of each mother. And number two is Habanos Yazuno, which is that after the fathers, as we'll learn in Mishnah Yad Aleph, that the daughters are going to receive mizonos from the nechassim of the father until they become arusos, until they have kiddushin. So that's something also from the father's estate. They are going to receive mizonos from the estate. So Habanim Yirshu v'Habanos Yazunu. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria darshan this, taught this, and in fact he says one takana is really derived from the other. Maha banim einam yorshim ela la'achas misas la'achar misas ha'av. Just like the sons are only yorish their mother's ksuba after the father dies, because the din of Yerusha to the sons is only after the father dies, af habanos einan mizonos ela la'achar misas avien. So too, the daughter is getting mizonos from the nechassim of the father because of the tanai ksuba, that's only after the father passes away. When the father's alive, he's not chayv to be mefarnes his daughters, and the same thing is true, as we said, regarding the sons. Perek Dalid, Mishnah Zayin. This Mishnah, basic halacha here, and that the Mishnahis that will take us to the end of the perek, is that the ksuba is a tanai beisdin. Tanai beisdin means it's a condition of the Jewish courts, and that means that all of the obligations of the ksuba obligate the husband, even if they decided not to write a ksuba. Our Mishnah is going to discuss the Iker Ksuba, as we said, for Almana 100 zuz and a Besula 200 zuz. And that is, number one, is that fact that not less than 200 dinar for a Besula, not less than 100 Almana. And not only that, is halacha number two regarding Ksuba, Tanai Ksuba, is what we call Shibud Nechasim. Shiba Nechasim is based on, is the fact that there's a lien on all of the husband's property in order to pay for the ksuba. What exactly happens? The Gemara Daf Pei Beis Amud Beis brings a brisa, and I quote the brisa from the that brought in the Gemara. What does it say? Barishona hayu kosin lebesula masayim lamana mana. Meaning, what would happen? Originally, there would be 200 for besula, 100 for lamana, and there would be no Shiba Nechasim. There was no lien on any of the husband's property in order to pay that. Vayu mazkinin v'lo hayu nosim nashim. What happened? They would get older and not get married, which means men did not want to marry women because They were afraid, the women rather didn't want to get married because they were afraid the husband would die or divorce her, and he wouldn't have any cash, and he would nothing, and there's no lien on any of his properties in order to pay for that ksuba, so they wouldn't get any ksuba. They didn't want to get married because there was no financial, there's no insurance policy there in their marriage. So hiskinu shiu manichin mosa b'veis avia. So they decided, you know what? It's going to be cash, but instead of the husband holding on to the cash, let's put the cash in her father's house. So, but that wasn't helping. Why? The money's there for her to collect. He's not holding it. But when the husband got angry, Omer Lo, he would say to her, meaning, you know what? Go home, go to your father's house, go to your ksuba money. He wouldn't, there would be no incentive to keep her around, and because already the ksuba money is basically in our father's house already. And it's like it's lost, so we can't use it anymore. So, okay, since it's lost anyway, you may as well go take that ksuba money, and that's it. There was nothing that was an incentive to keep the marriage going. So they decide to leave it in his father's house, her father-in-law's house. What would happen? Ashiros, osos, osa, kala, social, kesev, shelzav. The wealthy women would. What would they do with that money? They would buy. They made silver jugs or what have you, or gold, and aniyosa yososa of it. Okay, they would use it for like a pan. So, which means that the Ashiros who had a larger ksuva, so they would buy clay kesef clay zav with it. And the aniyos, they would buy something, let's say, made out of copper. So, once again, v'adayin k'shekoi sele, Omer Lehi would say to her, says the Braisa, t'li ksuva sechutzi, take the kli, take your ksuva, take this metal, this kesef or zav or nechoshes kli, and leave. Means the Baal's not miyach, he doesn't designate any movable objects or any money, but rather he's mishabed everything that he has, that he owns, to the ksuba, whether it be land, furniture, and anything. That's what we write in our ksuvas. He says everything, I keep upon myself, and we may remember that phrase, vafilu min glima dal kasboy, even the shirt on my back is achroi, is a lien upon it to pay for your ksuva. So that's the second halacha in our Mishnah. So the Mishnah says like this, Perek, dal Mishnah, zayin lo kasav lo ksuva, sa ksuva. Let's say the Baal didn't write a ksuva. He didn't write the ikur ksuba. So nonetheless, it's a Tanai based in that she has to be, that needs to be a ksuba. And therefore, besula gove masayim, even though it wasn't written down, still a besula collects 200, v'almana mana. And if he married her when she was namana, she gets 100 dinar. Vipneshu Tanai based, and because this is a Tanai, that's automatic when it comes to a marriage, even if it's not written, his husband is chayev. Let's say the husband wrote to his wife who had 200 zuz, she says a besula, and he said, you know, I'm mishabed my sada, my field to your ksuva, but what kasav la sada sheva mane tachas masayim zuz though, but this field was only worth 100, and he owed her 200. Velo kasav la, and didn't write kol nechasim de isli achroin l'ksuva sich, and didn't write that all my nechasim that I had, and there's a lien upon it to pay the ksuva. So guess what? Chayev, either way is chayev. He's chayev to pay everything that he has. The fact that he wrote, oh, this sada worth less is what's gonna you're gonna collect from for the ksuba. Now, and if I don't have cash, so all you get is a field worth 100. Doesn't work that way. Every single everything he has based on Shinbam and Shetach Stakana is achroi. There's a lien upon it. Part of the Tanai ksuba that is chayev and bnei shu Tanai based in, because that is to the Tanai based in built in, even if you don't write a ksuba.